All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verse number 10. And just for your information, Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24, as well as Proverbs 18 and 21. But we will just only read Romans 12, and 10. Romans 12 and 10. And it reads, we'll read it together. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these who have assembled. We pray, Lord, that you would bless each and every one of us. Watch over us, keep us forever in your care. In Jesus' name we pray, let us say amen. A few weeks ago, we talked about being kind and kindness. And today, I want to preach a sermon that it's nice to be nice. It's nice to be nice. So I said the associated scriptures are Proverbs 18 and 24, Proverbs 18 and 21, and Proverbs 25 and 11. The word affection means fond or tender feeling, warm liking. Kind means to be sympathetic, friendly, gentle, tender-hearted, and generous. So to be kindly affectioned means to demonstrate a warm and friendly approach in a gentle and sympathetic manner. Paul is admonishing the Roman church. He's urging them to be kindly affectioned one to another, and then to do it with brotherly love. And that means the only way we can display kind affection is through brotherly love. The writer of Hebrews 13 and 1 says, let brotherly love continue. In other words, it is our duty as Christians to allow brotherly love to be displayed in us and through us at all times. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
The Lord expects us to do unto others as we would like for them to do unto us.
Amen.
And that means we should avoid kicking people when they are down.
Amen.
For example, you may have a relative that is currently going through a very rough ordeal. Hard. Something like battling stage 4 cancer. Now, some of you may not understand what stage 4 cancer is, but it is the stage at which the cancer is almost in an untreatable phase, where there is not much that the doctors can do for you if you have this disease and it has progressed to this point. It would mean that his life would be at stake. It would mean the relative that you have would be under a tremendous amount of stress. When the doctors are telling you that your life is at stake, It can put you in a very much stressful state of mind. So from time to time, you might receive a phone call from this relative. And during some of those conversations, he may not always use the best language. Thank you, Jesus. And yes, he does know you're a devout Christian. But what I believe he is doing is letting you know that he just needs you to listen. Amen. He needs you to just hear him out. He needs to be able to tell you what's really on his mind without mincing words. He just needs to be able to tell you how he feels and to tell it like it is. And when he's done, and when he feels like listening to you, then that's when you can offer him a word of encouragement. But you can't tell him, "Cuz, I don't want you to talk to me like that." You can't tell him that. You can't tell him, "Cuz, you need to calm down." What you have to do is to do your best to do as the apostle said, and that is to be sympathetic, to be kind, and to be gentle towards him. This is not the time for you to say, "Man, you offended me by saying the words that you said." That's not the time for that. Glory to God. Because first of all, you want him to know that you genuinely care about him. And secondly, you want him to want to listen to what you have to say. And you also want him to keep calling you. Thank you, Jesus. You want him to want to trust that you're going to give him what he needs at that moment. And that's the reason why you need to listen. That's the reason why you have to be patient. And that's why you have to be kind. Why? Because at that moment, he needs you. Why do you think he called you in the first place? He needs you. Because God placed you in his life for such a time as this. If you ever wanted to think what a Christian is all about, think about that moment. Why are you a Christian in the first place? It's not for you to come to church and jump and shout and laugh and dance and have a good old time. That's good. That's great. But it is moments like that where God positions you in another person's life, where God is reaching out to an individual, and the way he is reaching out is through you. See, God does not deal with us the way he dealt with the people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You don't hear the voice of God coming down from heaven to you, speaking to you like he did in the Old Testament as he spoke to Moses and some of the others. Glory. But God deals with us mostly through each other. And it's important for us to be able to be in the position where God can use us. Thank you, Jesus. What good would it do for you to tell him that he's going to hell if he keeps using that type of language? Think about it. What good is it going to do for him if he won't listen to what you have to say. Glory to God. Because all he's going to do the moment you tell him, if he keeps talking like that, he's going to hell. The moment you say that, that's the moment he will not call you again. And that would be the worst thing that could happen for both him and you. Glory to God. Solomon said it this way in Proverbs 25 and 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. So all he is wanting from you is a word that is fitly spoken for that occasion. And the best word you can give anyone is a word that comes from your heart. Amen. So you don't have to start searching for, well, what's the best catchy phrase I can use? What kind of phrase can I use that can go viral so I can post it on Facebook? And it's going to go viral so everybody can see, man, that man is deep. No, 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 no. We're not looking for that kind of recognition. What we're looking for is to be a blessing to that person and that person only. Amen. We don't need to be a Facebook preacher. Because at the moment, all they need is a word from you that's coming from your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Our text is very clear. We must display a kind and thoughtful attitude towards others, especially, the Bible says, to those who are of the household of faith. We must display the love of Jesus to them so that they can see a difference between clean and unclean and holy and unholy. What good is it, as I said earlier, is it for me to go out and tell people that I've spoken in tongues, but I don't know how to treat them? Help me, Holy Ghost. We must be prayerful whenever we're put in a position of discomfort so that we can know how to handle that discomforting situation. For example, I'm going to use some examples today, y'all. If you're riding along in somebody else's car, it's very possible that they may be listening to music that you don't like. Hello, somebody. It's possible that they may be listening to stuff that you don't even listen to. Or there could be conversations going on that you don't want to participate in. So what are you going to do? Man, turn that radio off. I don't want to listen to that stuff. But you got to understand, it's not your car. It's not your car. You can't tell another person what to do in their own car. You're the one who decided you're going to ride with them. So now you're going to control what they do in their own car. Give me a break. You can't do that. Help us, Lord. It's important for us not to just sit in the car acting disinterested, as if we don't want to have anything to do with anybody in the car. We still need to display an attitude of friendliness. The scripture says that if you want friends, you got to do what? You got to act friendly. Listening to that music during the trip won't kill you. And it won't cause you not to be saved either. If it does, you need to come back to the altar. Help me, Jesus. Praise God. And still, some of y'all, truth be told, y'all might be privately patting your feet. Amen. Amen. Especially if some of that oldie but goodie stuff come on. Yeah. That oldie but goodie stuff. I heard it through the grapevine. Oh, Lord. See, some of the young folk don't have a clue as to what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Now, let me just say this. I was as square can be when I was a teenager, when I was growing up. But I at least like to listen to some of that music. In fact, I told y'all one time, there was one young lady I called on the phone. I tried to sing. I tried to sing one of those songs to her. I think it was one of the Temptation songs, one of them songs. The one where the guy had the high voice. That's right. Praise the Lord. So it's important for us to realize that that will not cause us to go to hell. Recognize people don't want to usually offend you. You got to understand that folks don't want to offend you. Sometimes we're the ones who have our own chips on our own shoulders. And we've got to understand folks are not out after you. If you're nice to people, if you speak to people in a nice manner, all you have to do is say, hey, man, is it okay if you can just turn that down just a little bit? Or do you mind because I don't like hard rock? Because I don't like hard rock. And if somebody's listening to hard rock in their own car, I might ask them, would you mind turning that to something else? Please, you know, if you don't mind. Because that stuff really bothers me. That's just me. Personally, it does. But that's what I would do. That's what I would say. But it's important to do it in a nice way. It's important to approach people in a nice way. Even if they're carrying on certain conversations. I've been in certain business meetings. I've been in certain environments where folks were joking and saying things. They look at me and say, hey, Angela, this is a clean one now. This is a clean one. It's okay. Let me know. You don't have to put your hands over your ears. It's all right. Praise God. So we just got to be able to let people know that we are able to be nice. Glory to God. It's important for us to be careful what we say. And when we say what we say. Because we don't have a license just to say anything that we want to say. Just because something pops into your head doesn't mean you've got to say it. That's why we've got to quickly think about what's in our head before we allow it to come out of our mouths. Because first thing that comes out of our mouth sometimes causes foot to go into mouth. So we have to be careful that we don't put foot in mouth. If a person is hurting over the fact that their husband or wife left them, that's not a good time for you to start trying to figure out who was at fault. Praise God. What the person needs is a listening and understanding ear. They need you to be kindly affectionate to them by displaying a tender heart to help them through the healing process. It's not time for you to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Who's at fault? Let me get mad at the person who was at fault. No, we're not going to do that. Proverbs 18 and 21 tells us that death and life are in the tongue. We have the ability to speak death or life to people. We have the ability to lift people up or tear people down. We have the ability to make people whole or to keep them torn apart. We have the ability to heal or to hurt. We can make a difference by what we say and how we say what we say. But it's up to us to choose. And I would hope that all of you would choose life over death. Because I choose to be nice rather than to be rude. Now, let me just stop right there, because it's not always easy. I mentioned to you all the last time I talked about being kind that there are times we can be so focused on our own thing that we're thinking about that we're not even thinking about what we're saying at the time or the individual that's in front of us. Because all we're focused on is focus on that thing. Like, for instance, I told you about food. And it appalls me when I see a fellow Christian, because see, on Sunday afternoon, there are a lot of us going to restaurants. Like, y'all gonna be going to one today. There are a lot of us that go to restaurants. And it appalls me when I see another Christian, when a waiter or waitress brings their food and they look at that person as if they are death. How can you give me this mess? Take it back. Don't you know that this is not good? You should have known before you even put this in front of me that that wasn't good. How does that sound? You may be upset, but you don't have to say it like that. You may not like it, but you don't have to say it like that. There's a way to talk to people. There's a way to deal with people. And you definitely don't deal with people as if they are beneath you. Amen. Help us, Jesus. Amen. You don't deal with people like they are, yeah, they're just a little waiter or a waitress, so I can talk to them any old kind of way. No! Doesn't matter what job they hold, we still need to treat people with courtesy and dignity and respect. Amen. I don't care who they are. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. We cannot be so right that in the end we find ourselves so wrong. Amen. Jesus made it clear to the Pharisees and Sadducees what he thought of their behavior towards others, especially those who were downtrodden. He told them that they were hypocrites. He said they were religious pretenders. We must not get so caught up in what we believe is right that we miss what is truly right. Because remember, it's always nice to be nice. As a Christian, we should want to be nice. As a Christian, we should want to do nice things for people. When somebody is trying to get over and all they need to do is get to the next turn because they forgot that they needed to be in the left lane to turn left, going front, it would be nice for you just let them in. Instead of you saying, "Hey, let nobody in. I got up here. And you got to get to where you need to be on your own." Y'all acting like those folk from the north. Because that's the way they do it. Glory to God. I was driving in Boston years ago when I was traveling in that area. And so the person from there told me one thing. He said, now, Angelo, you're going to have to go around this loop. When you go around this loop, he says, there are a lot of people around this loop. The one thing you cannot do, he told me, do not make eye contact. Because if you make eye contact, you will never get out of that loop. He says, the only thing you need to do is just floor it. Floor it, get to where you need to be. He said, they will stop. But if you make eye contact, they won't stop. So I got my rental car. I got in. I got to the loop. I did exactly what that man said. I floored it. Right in front of the next guy. Please, Lord, don't let him hit me. But right in front of the next guy. Thank you, Jesus. As a Christian, we should want to build people up and not tear them down. As a Christian, we should want to deliver the message of truth with our words seasoned with grace. As a Christian, we should want to be long-suffering and patient with others because we've already traveled the same road they're traveling. As a Christian, we should acknowledge the accomplishments of others without trying to turn the spotlight on ourselves. This is another pet peeve of mine. It is okay to let people have their say. If they're telling you how proud they are of their grandchildren, that is not the time for you to start saying, well, let me tell you about my grandchildren. Let me tell you what they're doing. They're doing this. They're doing that. Wait a minute. Stop. This is not a contest. They're only telling you how proud they are of their grandchild. So don't feel like you've got to one-up them to tell them all the things that your children are doing too. Give them their space to feel good about their children or their grandchildren. Amen. It's nice to be nice. Glory to God. Our focus as Christians must be on others and not so much on ourselves. We must try our best to live as Jesus lived. We must try to help as Jesus helped. We must try to heal as Jesus healed. There are too many people who are out there who are crying out. And many times people cry out in different ways. They lash out. They say mean things. They do things that just seem like, where did this come from? But sometimes all they're doing is crying out for help. We are sent, all of us, we are sent into the world to bring life and hope to a world that is void of hope. Our duty is to display the love of Jesus so much that everyone knows that we are Christians because of what we do and not because of what we say. It is brotherly love that will make them know that we know God. It is not how many scriptures we can quote, because even the devil knows how to quote scripture. The key to the Christian walk is to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We must make the word come alive in our hearts and our lives. We must make it so that we can be heard in the time of need rather than people running the other way when we come. Help us, Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, says the preacher. Let the love of God continue in you now and forever. Let the world know that Jesus is alive and well inside of you. Because I believe the world will know that we're Christians. The world will know that we're doing our very best to follow the creed that God set forth for us as we're being kindly affectionate one to another, as we're being nice because it's nice to be nice. It's just nice. I used to tell my boys all the time, good things happen to good boys. And I believe somehow within God's creation that as we do good things come back to us. I just believe that. I just believe it. Everybody's not going to be good, but somehow I believe the good that you do is going to come back to you. God will bless. Remember, it's nice to be nice. Glory to God.